Hi, Dan.
Hi, Jason.
You know, sometimes I wonder if we really should stop using Skype for podcasts. And I say this because before we started today, I started up my Skype on my Mac Mini, where I do all my podcasts now. And there's no call recorder window. Call recorder from Ecamm Networks, great piece of software, automatically records your Skype conversations, great for podcasters. It records on two tracks, so you've got your microphone on one side and then everybody else on the other side, which is really great for editing. So many things that are great about it. So one of the reasons we use Skype is because without call recorder, Skype would be less impressive. But with call recorder, it's very helpful. And they've had some issues, right? Like Microsoft keeps altering Skype in ways that basically boot call recorder out. To the point, and you and I have talked about this offline, to the point where Skype call recorder from Ecamm now installs its installer in your app folder, your applications folder, so you can reinstall it later, because that's the solution, is to just reinstall it. So instead of moving it to the trash, they like
I had to walk one of my other co-hosts through that just yesterday.
I mean, that's nice. I love that I hate that they had to do it, but I love that that was their solution, is just to keep the installer around. Today, however, I installed Skype Call Recorder, at which point I relaunched Skype, at which point it said, there's a new version of Skype Call Recorder.
Oh, no.
At which point I installed that, at which point it quit and relaunched Skype again. And here I am. But I don't know. I guess we could talk to those guys. We use Zoom for so much now, and Zoom is not great, but Zoom has built-in recording functionality. That is that what it's not as good as Skype as is that if you the host can record everybody, but there's no built-in recording functionality for each guest, I believe. So
and there I find it still kind of a wash which one has better like call quality.
Yeah,
like sometimes Skype is better, sometimes Zoom is better, but neither of them is like always better.
Right. So anyway, I know this is insider baseball stuff, but just for everybody out there, it's a weird thing.
I thought you were going to go in a very different direction when you started saying things. You started saying, I've been wondering,
I thought to myself, is what I'm saying.
Well, I had this thought this morning as I looked across the latest news in our sphere and saw reports speculatively leaking all of the details about the things that Apple's going to release.
Yes, I saw those too. I'm about in, as soon as we're done here, I'm about to go on upgrade and draft things. And so I saw those reports. I looked to those reports with interest.
Yeah. Well, what I thought to myself, which I was very interested about, was like, and again, this is maybe a little bit inside baseball, but like, I thought to myself, Jason, rumors are a young man's game. If it was very different when you know 10 years ago when you and I were probably in kind of like covering, you know, iPhone rumors and stuff like that. I mean, you've been doing this a lot longer than I have, but even 10 years ago, which was kind of in the middle of my career at Macworld, and I was on the news desk and I was covering, and we had very specific rules about how we covered things that were rumors. And you know, everything was take this with a grain of salt. Whereas these days, you get these leaks on Twitter and Weibo and like all these other places where it's like, I would guess, you know, if you're covering this stuff, you have your sort, like you have your places that you go and you're like, oh, this guy's proven to be reliable and I should follow him on this or them, I guess I should say. I think to myself how exhausting it sounds to try and keep up with all of that.
Yeah, it's true. And then you've got people. I mean, in some ways, it is no different than it was back in the day because we had, you know, anonymous sources and stuff like that. It's changed.
It's where it is has changed too, right? Like so much of it now is like supply chain stuff. It seems
and through social media, the Weibo thing really blew me away too, because it's like, of course, on one level, it's like, well, that's where they're making them, so somebody there is going to have some insight. Somebody in China is going to have insight, and posting it to a Chinese network kind of makes sense. But yeah, it's again doubling down on secrecy Apple, but there's only so much they can do, right? Especially, honestly, especially now during the pandemic. I would imagine that some of their security measures during the pandemic have kind of gone by the wayside because they can't, like, they can't maybe clamp down as they would normally because they can't send people to places. They have to transfer
information. All that information is in electronic or, you know, some
Although, also, because we did get that announcement, I should, I guess, mention that everybody already knows, like, they're doing an event next Tuesday. That's what's happening. There was that security story that came out about the guys who found all these issues with Apple security and got paid and all of that. But one of the things they got to was read-only access to the iOS source code.
Yeah.
And I feel like that is, like, look at that. You look at that and you say, well, here's the thing about Apple's secret information is that Apple leaks itself and they doubled down on secrecy. But the fact is, we've seen even kind of, I'm not going to say they're amateur sleuths, but they're not like high level security hackers like Guy Rambo.
Yeah. I mean, and you're only fundamentally as good as the weakest link in your security chain.
Right.
And Apple is so big that it's hard. It's hard when you reach that size to maintain, even if you do double down on secrecy, it's hard to maintain that level of security across all of the things. Like, one of the things they were talking about in their hacks was like the, was it like the Apple Distinguished Educators Program and how they got into that, right? It's like, they're like, and I was reading a little bit of it and they're talking about like, this was cobbled together from like these
and it's
different
using,
systems.
Dan,
and
it's
stuff
using
like that.
Jive, which we used as a commenting system at Macworld like 10 years ago.
Exactly. Because you and I know how big companies work. And the answer is sometimes when you get something that works well enough, you never update it,
and it doesn't.
Or
seem,
you let it sit there for a long time because
seem particularly important, and
Or why do you want to spend money on that? You have plenty of other things you can spend money on.
So
it's
but it's just, and my point about like Guy Rambo is that, you know, Guy Rambo is a developer who also kind of like is interested in digging around and seeing what Apple is doing, but like even Guy Rambo was able to figure out, like, to get marketing images of the next iPhone in advance of the keynote a couple years ago, right? Like, so I think Apple is constantly improving its game, and I think the good news of that about that story about all those security holes is Apple has a bounty program, and so those guys who are hacking away, those hackers were doing it as a security researchers for bounties, and they've already been paid like $60,000 and anticipate being paid more for other things that are going through the program. And as a result, they're reporting those things directly to Apple. And they said Apple, the critical stuff Apple was fixing within days or in some cases within hours. So I find that story both unnerving and also encouraging, if that makes any sense. The unnerving that there are these holes, encouraging that Apple is finally engaging with security researchers, because one of the things that has been proven to be a good way to close security holes is to basically offer money to hackers to report security holes.
Because it's far more, I mean, the truth of the matter is there's a market for that outside of those companies, right? And so if you don't incentivize it by offering to pay them something, and I think, you know, in many cases appealing to their better nature, right? Like, you can't solely appeal to their better nature because
people are going to be criminals, right? There are going to be some people who are criminals, who are crooks, who are going to say, well, what I'm going to do is find this thing and exploit it for myself or sell it to the highest bidder, and it doesn't matter if it's a, you know, a terrorist or an authoritarian government or whatever, I'm just going to do it. And there are other people who are like, I'm really interested in hacking around computer systems, but I don't want to break the law. I want to, you know, I just want this to be my job and do good and help out and make things more secure.
Exactly.
And those people, bounty programs work for those people.
Right. It's exactly the same, you know, methodology that Steve Jobs pointed out when they started the iTunes store.
Right.
It's like, you know, there's lot of people out there who can pirate, but, they, you know, they're doing it because that's the only option if we compete with it instead of trying to stamp it out. And you know, it's the same idea. You want to compete with
legal.
All the people. Yeah, exactly.
You know,
people, I think, tend to want to do the right thing. If you incentivize them, it makes it that much easier for them to do it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so, anyway, so on top of that, so we've got leaks of a lot of stuff.
Yep.
You know, of accuracy levels that who knows, but they sound they sound mostly pretty, like, reasonable to me in terms of the kinds of things they're talking about. There are some things that I scratch my head a little bit over, and sometimes that's just until you see the way Apple's going to couch it and talk about it, you don't really necessarily get it. The one that stuck out to me is there's something they are potentially bringing back the MagSafe name, but not for the same type of thing previously done.
That was a rumor that I hadn't really seen before, but it's part and parcel of these rumors that Apple is going to eventually have its own magnetic charger, its own induction charger for phones, and that it's going to have magnets on it to guide it, and that they're going to build a little ring of magnets into the phone. And honestly, it's just think Apple Watch, right? That's how the Apple Watch charger works, is there's a little magnet attached. So it kind of clicks in. So why not? Apple has shown that they will dig up old brand names.
Oh yeah,
and
sure.
Bring them back because they've already got them and they own them. And in fact, if they use them, they don't lose them. So bringing back MagSafe. I also think, and this is where my mind went, all of these rumors about Apple striving for the portless iPhone. Mm-hmm. Hashtag Warren Buttons. Thank you. Warren Buttons. It's a real thing.
Ah, Warren Buttons.
Warren Buttons. He's a billionaire. He lives in Button Falls, Nebraska.
He works for Calendar.
He prints Calendar's calendars. That's what he does. Needs to. That's why he's so rich.
That's true.
If you introduce MagSafe and you call it this thing, oh, look, it's this magnetic thing that attaches, and it's great, and it attaches to your iPhone, and isn't it nice? It potentially opens the door for what I think is the only possible explanation for a quote-unquote portless iPhone is a magnetic attachment port like the Smart connector on the iPad. And so when I see MagSafe and iPhone, I start to think, oh, you know, maybe that ultimately is going to be their pathway in, is putting a magnetic charging cable in the box that charges via USB. And then down the road, that cable is not just magnet. It's magnet plus, or it's not just power. It's power plus data. And it allows them to get rid of the Lightning port, but still have a data transfer port that's just, a soft connection on the outside instead of it being a port.
Which makes me curious, too, because then it opens questions of, like, well, where is that port on the phone?
Right.
And if you're building cases for the phone, now you have to accommodate a magnetic port, which, you know, if you look at something like the iPad, makes it a little trickier, right? If it was like on the back of the phone and it needs to make contact.
Yeah. I mean, that's, I've been thinking that they would, with the flat side design that we all think is going to happen, you could put it on the side, which is sort of where the Apple Pencil is.
Where the port is on the iPhone now, supposedly.
Sure.
I mean, like, you could put a little contact there instead.
Right. But then the alternative is, what if it's on the back? And then the idea there would be, presumably, if you're making a case, what you would do is you would have some sort of a pass through something or other,
more expensive for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that will be, it'll be interesting to see, because that could have far reaching consequences potentially if it's the only option.
And there's a difference, There's also a difference between induction of for charging, which doesn't actually need to be direct contact, and something like the smart connector, which is a direct contact thing. It's basically forming a port by putting two pieces of metal together. So that would be different too. You'd need to pass through something in your iPhone case to do that.
Can you support both, right? Like, because induction charging as it is now also uses magnets. So there's a question of do they interfere with each other? Like, are they possible for them to be complementary? Will you still support Qi charging? Like,
you know, Dan, magnets. How do they work?
I leave it for the physicists.
Okay. That's a good idea. Electromagnetists.
This event, I think, will be interesting. The phone stuff is widely expected, and I think basically a lock. So, and all the stuff that we've seen.
Yeah, I hate it when we do drafts, because it's like, oh, now we know what everything is already.
Yeah, exactly. But the other stuff is more interesting to me. My Macworld column, which comes out on Monday, which now has been probably a little bit obsoleted by this information, was talking about other things we might see. And one of them was, of course, the smaller, cheaper HomePod, which is also now being described a little bit as, I think, a $99 thing that's about half the height of the current HomePod, which is interesting. That certainly seems like a lot more. I mean, you get it under $100, that reaches impulse buy territory for a lot of people.
Right.
And that is compelling in a way that the $300 HomePod was never going to be, as right. much as Apple wanted it to be.
Yeah, so, that seems like that one is going to happen, and they've waved away the headphones and the AirTags. Yeah. Those are both like, yep. nope, it's not going to happen, which is interesting that the rumor people have veered off of those.
The headphones seemed more likely to me than the AirTags, but it's
absolutely
certainly plausible.
The headphones, it seems like the right time to do it because you want to be in sure. the holiday season for Apple-branded headphones, and I yep. wonder if there's just a holdup there of some sort that they, either hardware or software or production so, or you know something going on there.
It's been a year since the AirPods Pro, so that would also sort of cement this holiday season for like personal audio stuff. Apple also removed right. a bunch of third-party audio stuff from the Apple stores,
right.
including speakers and headphones, which also seems like, okay, so you're clearing the way for your own products. Uh-huh. Like, everything kind of seemed to add up for me to that, but it's certainly possible that there's delays.
I think all of us assume that there's going to be another Apple product announcement event because of the Mac.
Of some kind. Yeah. And I think, you know, there have been some debate as to whether or not Apple Silicon Macs would show up here. I think all these leaks seem to support the idea that they won't. And if you're going to do an event that's probably somewhere between an hour and an hour and a half, I just don't see how you have time to spend on something as significant as Apple Silicon Macs, which can right. kind of carry their own, like yeah. you want to do an hour event
and
next
yeah, that's
month.
It. That's exactly
Fine.
It. Like, why, if you're not doing events in person, which have huge logistics and you're asking the press to travel yeah. and all of those things, why
Super
not?
Cheap.
I, you know, this last event in September really crystallized it for me. And Mike and I have been talking about it a lot. And I know you and I have talked about it a lot, that this idea that, like, once you're free of that, don't you want to focus on the product that you want to showcase? Like, do you yeah. really want, like, the iPad, they did. It was a kind of a weird event, but it was like Apple Watch and iPad, but it was also, at least it was just two products that we could talk about. And there was some clarity and it was only an hour. They're going to do iPhone and maybe HomePod. And why would you not just do another one? Like,
right.
especially if it's like an hour, 90 minute long kind of session video, like you could roll those out anytime you want to roll out
well,
products and get attention. Why not do it more? Why not?
They kind of showed that was their plan already, because if you look at the you know last event, which did the Apple Watch and the iPad Air and you know the new other iPad, but it was about an hour long.
Yep.
They announced the iPad Air, which still hasn't shipped.
Yes.
And we're going to get another Apple event. It looks like I was predicting to Lex Fridman this week on The Rebound that the iPad Air would ship today. That does not seem to be mm-hmm. happening. So
they won't ship it until they've talked about the A14 in detail for the iPhone.
But
because they don't want to jump the iPhone's chance
right,
to shine
it,
about A14.
Fascinating that they spent the time
I know, right?
unveiling it before, and like now we're going to have a second event before the stuff from the first event is all on sale yet.
And guess what? They're going to announce products that aren't going to ship until November, probably.
According to those, yeah. Like that certainly seems like... And then
there may be another event before they ship.
Yeah, this is a weird year.
yeah.
So strange.
Yeah,
so strange.
It's really weird.
It's a bummer for me because the Apple Silicon Mac announcement is definitely the thing I'm looking forward to the most.
By far.
And it's like, but we've had two events so far and they're not going to talk about it.
I have two things about that. One is the iPhone event. I actually am really not liking what's been rumored for this round of iPhones. Because I'm using an iPhone, you know, it's an 11 Pro.
Same.
So it's the size class of the iPhone X. Mm-hmm. And the rumors, and you know, this is next, we'll talk about it more next week, right, when it's all out there. But the rumors are, just a short version, the rumors are that they're doing an iPhone 12 mini, an right. iPhone 12, iPhone 12 Pro, and iPhone 12 Max. And the problem is, the iPhone 12 will be the size of the iPhone 11. The iPhone yeah. 12 Pro will be bigger than...
They're rumoring 6.1?
Yeah. And then the Pro Max will be even bigger than the existing Pro Max.
Well, I thought the rumor was that the iPhone 12 and the... I thought there were two 6.1 models.
Yeah, maybe that's it. But this is my point is...
But it's bigger than
the iPhone 10 size
yeah.
that I like and that is kind of pushing it in terms of size, but I like it. I've gotten used to it, is gone in this scenario. And you either need to go smaller with the essentially low-end iPhone 12 mini, or you have to go bigger. And well, I'm not really enthusiastic about changing iPhone sizes, and I'm certainly not enthusiastic about a bigger iPhone. I might end up being one of those people who's like, lay that small iPhone on me, right?
Well, yeah, I agree with you. I think the thing that makes me curious is if you look at the 11 Pro now, I wonder how much room they can potentially get back by those flattened sides to some degree, right? Like, is it possible that the 12 Pro is, because you're only bumping up a third of an inch.
Right.
If the sides are flatter and the screen goes out even further to the edge, I don't know when you do a chassis redesign. Like,
I don't know.
This stuff is up in the air.
How's it going to feel in my hand if it's even larger? Are they boiling the frog? The frog here is my hand. And just making it even larger than it already was? Because, like, the iPhone 10, I'm okay with it. It's not
but it's at the edge, I agree.
Size in my hand, but it's okay. And I just feel like to creep it even larger, it's just pushing it too far.
I agree with you. The 5.4 sounds much more compelling. I like the idea of a phone that's a little bit more manageable and smaller, but at the same time, what are you going to sacrifice with that as opposed to with the larger ones, not only in terms of screen real estate, but in terms of performance, in terms of camera capabilities, like all that stuff.
Right.
Like, you know, you got to do all that calculus. And it's like, well, if I need to write about features that are only on the larger phone, either I'm, you know, buying a separate phone just to write about, which seems outrageous. I mean, not outrageous, but like for some of us, a little bit beyond our means.
Right.
Or I'm going to take the trade off and say, like, all right, I got to live with a larger phone. Or I'm just going to say, like, no, I want the smaller phone. Screw my job.
Well, and in terms of my buying cycle, I bought an iPhone 11 Pro. That's my phone. So I'm not really in the market to buy a new iPhone, and I'm fortunate that I usually will get a review unit, especially this time. If I'm in that line, I'll probably get a review unit or units of the ones that ship early and then later the ones that ship late, which is great. But like great to be me in that case, assuming that that happens. But like, you're right. It is kind of a quandary. So the reviews will be interesting because they're making some interesting ergonomic stories. Questions. I think that those are the stories of this iPhone, is these ergonomic changes and what they're doing there. The other piece, though, I wanted to get to before we go is Apple Silicon, because I'm with you. Like, I'm so excited about the potential for Apple Silicon Max, and we got that leaked A14 benchmark that suggests that the Apple Silicon is so powerful, and it's going to be, you know, potentially, if it's based on the A14 with more cores and more GPU, like, what's that going to look like? And something else funny happened. I talked for a while now about how I just do Mac at my desk and I do iPad everywhere else, right? Like, I sort of switched, and the only laptop that I have is my old 11-inch MacBook Air, which is essentially just obsolete now, right? Like, it works and I could use it, but it's not Retina. It's a couple OS versions back. It's essentially obsolete, and I wouldn't use it for anything if I could choose. But we had a couple of heat waves, and we had some sort of air quality issues, and I'm out here in the garage, which has no air conditioning and is not entirely airtight. And I found that in the last month or so, there have been a few cases where late in the day or sometime in the mid-afternoon, I have to abandon the garage. I can't be here anymore. And there's times where I'm like, yeah, but there's some Mac-based work I need to do, and I can't do them. And so I've kind of decided that I want to buy an Apple Silicon laptop, not just because I want to have that experience, but because I want to have an Apple Silicon laptop. Like, I'm really excited about that possibility.
That's what I have basically the same computer you do.
I'm on the raft with you now.
Yeah, welcome to the lifeboat.
Yeah,
I mean, this is the computer, as I was pointing out somewhere this week, is that I bought with that a severance benefit from Macworld.
Good times.
So it's exactly the age of six colors, basically. And it's running the Big Sur beta right now because it's my slightly more expendable computer. And I mainly use it for writing, for novel writing stuff like Scrivener. I don't do too much else on it because it chugs.
Yeah.
It does. Like, I love that computer. I love that form factor. But yeah, you're right. It's not Retina. It's definitely on the slower side, and it's falling off the edge. Like, it supports Big Sur, but it's fallen off the edge there, right?
Right.
So I have been, you know, as everybody knows, I have been waiting for a Apple Silicon Mac for a long time.
So I'm with you there now. I'm actually, I'm excited not only from a news perspective, but from a selfish perspective, because I'm really intrigued about the possibility of having an Apple Silicon laptop available.
The performance, running iOS apps.
Yeah, exactly.
Much interesting stuff happening here. And, you know, so
let me
questions.
Add it, but it might be like November or December.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, again, I can see why you wouldn't want to throw that in an event with an iPhone and a HomePod, where it's really about personal, you know, entertainment and like,
and you
want to consumer
boast.
Stuff.
You want to do a Mac event and boast about the Mac.
Right. You want to talk about your productivity and your power and like, look how much stuff we can do with the Apple Silicon and how powerful it makes the Mac. You want a whole event for that. I do believe that. Even when we were talking about two events a month or two ago, I was like trying to figure out where you slot this in, and it just did not make sense to me from a storytelling perspective. So,
rumors are late November, early December, like December 1st or November 17th.
I mean,
I feel like they
can
even do it on November 24th, which is Thanksgiving week here in the U.S., but it's a video release. Does it matter?
Yeah.
I don't know.
People will watch it. I mean, it's... You know, they said before the end of the year, and I think we were all impressed by that when they said it, but it also, Apple says stuff, and, you know, before the end of the year often, and it means late December, you know, really could be anything, but we'll tide ourselves over with the iPhone and the small HomePod. Will I buy a small HomePod? God, I probably will, won't I? I'm a sucker.
Yeah, I'll say. All right, we gotta go, because I gotta do another podcast, I gotta draft stuff. So people tune in. There's a bonus episode of Upgrade dropping on Saturday. But we'll be back next week. There'll be coverage. There's obviously, I mean, it's an event week. We're going to do what we do, because that's what we do.
The Rebound will be live streaming again, since the Apple likes to schedule their events right before our normal recording time. So we figure, why the heck not?
And Upgrade as well. So we will be back next week, and so much will have happened. But until then, bye, Dan.
Bye, Jason.